You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. Okay, and now Rick with part three of a message called, How Do I Know What's True?
Now, postmodernism says, can we really know truth? I mean, there may be some truth out there, but how can anybody really know it? Is it possible to know truth? Is it knowable? The answer is absolutely. I can give you on a full guarantee with a resounding yes, absolutely, truth can be knowable. You can know the truth. In fact, Jesus said you know the truth and it'll set you free. And you can know what's false. Truth can be discovered. How do we discover it? Five ways. Number one, we know what's true through creation. Simply by looking around at the world. We know what's true through creation. We learn a lot about God, a lot about truth, just by looking at nature. This is why science is so important. It helps us understand how things work. It helps us understand truth. It helps us understand God and His universe. That's why we value science. Romans 1:20 says this from the Bible. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. In other words, through creation. So, men are without excuse. In other words, forget the Bible. I learn a lot about God just by taking a walk this afternoon. When I go out and I start walking around in creation, I can learn a lot about God. First thing I can figure out real quickly is God likes variety. Have you noticed that? Have you looked down your row lately? There's not anybody like you in the world. All of the different variety. God doesn't want it all alike. God gets bored with sameness. God loves diversity. God loves variety. I told some of you before, when God created beetles, He created over 60,000 different varieties of beetles. Think about that. 60,000 different kinds of beetles in the world. Now, you would have thought 400 or 500 varieties would be enough. No, God wanted 60,000 different varieties of beetles. John, Paul, Ringo, George, and who knows the names of the other ones? But I'm sure He's got them all named because God likes variety. God loves, you know, another thing I look just in nature, I go out looking around, I can figure out pretty quick, this guy's powerful. Ever seen a volcano? Ever seen an earthquake? Tidal wave? Wave? Tides? Winds? I mean, it's very obvious. If God made all this, He's pretty powerful. So I know God is creative. I know God likes diversity. I know God is powerful just by looking at nature. I know God is organized. Organized. In fact, the more we know about nature, the more we realize how much He is, that the whole earth is an ecosystem and it's all delicately balanced and it can get out of balance and things that we didn't even know related to each other, we now know are highly organized and that there is an ecosystem balance in situations that we don't even know, oh, that plant was particularly needed by this particular animal and that animal was needed for this particular animal and on and on and on and on and you get it out of balance. It's highly organized. And when I look at, for instance, things like the angle of the Earth's axis as it is tilted, that it's just the right angle to support human life or life on this planet, and that if the axis was too much this way, we would burn up, or if it were too much that way, we'd freeze up. And of course, we all know that's an accident. Yeah. All right. And so the more we understand the planet and God's universe, the more we have to thank God for. Like I said earlier, I said, you know, we didn't know about genomes, we didn't know about DNA, we didn't know about all these things, but the more we understand, the more we go, whoa, what a God. how intricately he designed even our own bodies. You know, I've pretty much become aware of this since I became a grandparent. You know, the grandkids are much cooler than my kids. You know, I don't know. You know, I think kids are wasted on us because we have them when we're young. We don't realize how cool they are. And just about the time you get to appreciate them and understand them, they leave. But I'm looking at these little fingernails of the babies and looking how this came out of a woman's womb. And it came out and it works. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when you look, biologists and physicists and things, and you look at the way God wired the world in creation, we learn about God. We learn a lot about value and about truth. There is no contradiction between the discoveries of science and faith. None at all. There are contradictions between unproven scientific theories and faith, but there is no contradiction between discoveries and faith because all truth is God's truth. God thought it up before the scientists did. God designed the laws of physics before anybody, professor of physics, even knew about it. For instance, watch this. I just learned this. Watch this. Watch. Was that cool? Watch. I'll do it again. Watch. You know what? It happens every time. When I let it go, it doesn't go up. It always goes down. Now, that is true. And no matter how much you don't want it to be true, the law of gravity is always going that way. Now, we didn't know that for a long time. I mean, like thousands of years ago, Indians were going, you know? And they go, but they didn't know why. We now know the law of gravity. We understand it. And we're discovering truth. But it's always true. And you could do this one gazillion times and it's always going to fall down. Some things are always true. Now, the Bible says this on the back of your outline, Romans 1:19. The basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. I mean, it's just all around you. And that's why throughout history, up until about the last 100 years, almost all of the great scientists were also believers. In fact, many of them were theologians. Why? Because it was their love of God that drove them to discover, why do we do what we do? I'm reading a book right now called God Seen Through the Eyes of the Greatest Minds. It's a fascinating book on what scientists have said about God throughout history and what they've learned about history. I was invited to speak at TED, the TED conference up in Carmel or Monterey. That's Technology, Entertainment, and Design Summit. And it's all these scientists and technology people and very, very smart people. And they put me in an afternoon session between probably the two most prominent atheists in America. Now, that's what's called an ambush. So I ambushed them. Okay? I'm going, you're going to give me a setup this great? Thank you, God. There is a God in the universe. Thank you. And, you know, I won't let anybody be an enemy. I just love them into the kingdom. And by the time we were over, the three of us going, maybe we ought to write a book together. And one of the things that I said is, you know what? I just don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes far more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe that there's a creator. I mean, when I look at these instruments over here, and I look at these things, I'm going, somebody had to make that. I don't think that just showed up. Okay, somebody had to design all those keys. I could stand here for 100 million years, and I don't think it would just form on its own. Somebody had to design that. When I look at this watch, I'm going, okay, there had to be some kind of designer behind this. It takes far more belief for me to think, oh, that's an accident, And one day, or over 100 million years, that just became a watch. Well, you know, that sounds silly, but to say that the whole world happened that way without any intentional design, I'm sorry, I don't have enough faith to believe that. It takes far more faith to say, this all just is a random chance. These lights right here, they just showed up there. Okay? They just showed up because over a long period of time, lights show up. Okay. You know, I've got a number of friends who are atheists, and I say, okay, let me ask you this question. Just follow me on this. What percentage of the knowledge of the universe do you think you have? 10%? Oh, of course not. 1%? Of course not. 1 billion zillionth of a percent of the world's or the universe's knowledge you might possess? Yeah, maybe. 1 billion zillionth. Okay. So what that's saying is, you and I, we don't know 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 Are you telling me there's no possibility that a God might exist in the 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 possibility? Yes. That's not called being open-minded. That's called arrogance. And let's just get down to the real issue here. It's not what you don't believe. It's why you don't believe it. The truth is, you don't want to believe in God because you'd have to change your ways if there was. Now, let's just admit it. It's not that you can't believe in God. It's that you won't believe in God because if there was, you'd have to change some things you do and you want to be your own God. Let's just admit it. It's a pride issue. I want to run my own life. Otherwise, how could I deny the possibility of something in the 99 point whatever that I don't even know about? That is what I would call an extremely closed mind. We know what's true through creation. Number two, we know what's true through conscience. Through conscience. There's some things that are hardwired in us by God that we know are always right and always wrong, no matter what anybody else says. Our conscience tells us this. The Bible says this in Romans 2. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law. In other words, there are people all around the world who do the right thing, and they don't have a Bible. Some people naturally obey God's commands, even though they don't have the law. This proves that the conscience is like a law written in the human heart, and it will show whether we are forgiven or condemned. Let me say, we take a random sample of 1 billion people from around the planet, or just a million, and we put them out on a corner in New York City, in Times Square, and we're going to ask them a moral question and say, here's a little old lady, she's 92, she's blind, and she's walking with a walker, and she needs to cross a busy intersection in New York City. Now, tell me which of these three options is morally right. Okay, number one, you can ignore her and just let her go off on her own. Number two, you could help the blind lady cross the street. Number three, you can push her into oncoming traffic. Why are you laughing? Because we instinctively know there's a right thing to do. You don't have to be a, quote, Christian or Jew or Muslim or even a spiritual person. Inside, you know that's the right thing to do. That's the way God wired our conscience. The Bible says this. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Look up here on the screen. This shows that God's law is not something alien imposed on us from without, but it's woven into the very fabric of our creation. There's something deep within us that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Look at the next verse on your outline. The Bible says this, the Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. This week I was watching, and there was a criminal who'd been on the lam, and they caught him. He was a fugitive. And when he was caught, he actually looked relieved. And then he said, I'm really glad I got caught. He said, the guilt was killing me. The guilt was killing me. Well, where'd that come from? It comes from inside. Inside. Now, the problem with conscience is this one, of all of the sources of finding truth, is the least reliable. Because the Bible teaches us that our conscience can be weakened, it can be warped, it can be hardened, our conscience can be perverted. In fact, it can be killed. I would say somebody like Hitler had a dead conscience. It was dead. And so the more I violate my conscience, the more out of whack it gets. As I said, it just gets easier and easier to do the wrong thing. So just because my conscience lets me get away with it doesn't mean it's right. But there are, the point I'm making is there are some things that are hardwired in us around the world that says we know what is right and what's wrong. Number three, we know what's true through consideration. Through consideration. So what do you mean by that? We know it's knowable, it's intellectual, that you can observe it. Truth is knowable. You don't just get truth by faith. You can test it. You can experiment with it. You can prove it. Truth is intelligent. It's rational. You can observe it. And just like I did with the, you know, dropping the pen, you can test it. Truth is testable. It is verifiable. You can examine the evidence. If I get a map, I tell you, I'm going to go to San Francisco. Give me a map. So you give me a map. And that map, I follow it, and it takes me to San Francisco. And then next week, I got to go to San Francisco again, and I use the map again, and it takes me there. And I use this over and over and over. Eventually, I figure out this map is true. It's reliable. That when I look at this map and it takes me to San Francisco like it says, and it doesn't take me to Alabama, then this is a true map. For 40 plus years, I've been following this map called the Bible. I have found it to be true. It always takes me where it says it's going to take me. I don't always feel comfortable there. I don't always like it there, but it always takes me to where it says it's going to take me. It has never, never taken me to some place I didn't expect because it said something different. And so we can, through consideration, we can think it. You see, God gave you a brain and he expects you to use it. Why would people a lot of times say, well, I want God to just write it in the sky. You know, why would God do that? He gave you a brain. That is his will. And so he says, use your intelligence, use your intellect. And that's how you figure out. God's not going to write it in the sky. You're in a buffet and he says, you know, take broccoli, not Brussels sprouts. No, it's not going to happen that way. He says, use your mind, use the brain. But most people never slow down long enough for consideration. Most people just drift through life. They never even think about where am I headed? Where am I going? What am I doing? Have you ever done that? The Bible tells us over and over, ponder the path of your feet. In other words, think through your life. Know where it's headed. Don't just kind of go out and drift through life. Spend some time in consideration, in observation, going, am I on a true path? And check it out. When in doubt, check it out. Schedule time to do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, fools will believe anything, but the wise think about what they do. Think about, that means consideration. They think about what they do. The next verse says this, anyone who examines this evidence will come to stake his life on this, that God himself is the truth. It's okay to check things out. It's okay to be skeptical. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, that's kind of smart, in my opinion. The dumb thing is to sit on the fence and do nothing about it, to not check it out. If you're not checking it out, that's the dumb thing. To have something so important like, does God exist or not? Is Jesus who he said he was or not? And then to go all through life and come to the end of your life and go, well, I never really took the time to check it out. That's the dumb thing. See, I always tell people, take the time to make the right decision. You know, here at Saddleback, I don't believe in fear evangelism. In other words, trying to scare people out of hell or scare the hell out of them. Okay? Or scare them into heaven. Why? Because it only lasts about as long as the fear does. And I tell you, you need to accept Jesus Christ, not because you're going to die tonight. You might, but you probably won't. You need to accept Jesus, not because you're going to die tonight, but because you're going to live tomorrow. And you need to know his plan and purpose and not waste another single day. And so check it out and examine the evidence. After having talked to literally tens of thousands of people, I found that when people take the time to check it out, they inevitably come down on the side of the evidence. And it is incontrovertible. I'm not talking about what people think Christianity is. I'm talking about what it really is.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Now here's Rick with today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change, but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.